Z-Axis Life, seeking truth, setting the captives free, allowing the true self to live.
I'm going to talk about controlees. The last podcast talked about controllers. And controlees are the other half of the equation. We'll just recap real quick. A controller has a lot of damage from childhood, and he ends up blaming the world and being rebellious against all authority. A controller believes that all authority will be humiliating and will make him feel powerless. Therefore, he rebels against all authority. A controlee is made up of very different stuff. A controlee can grow up in the exact same household as a controller, and a controlee decides to approach life quite differently. I believe the reason for the difference is in the will. I don't think it's genetic. I think based on my observations of people in general, it seems like about half the population are controllers and about half the population are controlees. I could be wrong, but they sure seem to find one another. And I'll talk about that later. So a controlee suffers greatly as a child. And instead of blaming the world, he blames himself. Don't get me wrong, a controller still feels shame, but he turns that shame into pride and lives off of pride. A controlee will quite often stay in shame. Sometimes a controlee can go into pride and may use pride in certain areas to cover up shame. But a controlee has access to his shame, where a controller usually does not. A controller's greatest fear is that he does not exist. Because he trusts no authority, he has to be his own authority. A controller becomes his own god, and therefore his self-will rules the day. A controlee still has self-will, but it's a little different. A controlee's biggest mistake is not to rebel against authority, but to submit to the wrong authority. So as you can imagine, controllers walk around as being authorities. And controllers are drawn to that. They are designed, wired for their will is seeking to surrender to an authority. But instead of surrendering to God as their authority, they surrender to a controller as their authority. A controller is looking to stop his own suffering from childhood. He wants to feel secure. He wants to feel accepted. And he wants to feel purpose. A controller always provides these three things to the controlee. It is what draws us to controllers. A controlee's worst fear is not that he doesn't exist. His worst fear is that he will be seen as something that he is not. That his character will not be seen correctly. A controller will define who he is. A controller will define his false self for himself. He is his own god. But a controlee's false self is defined by controllers. If you are a controlee, you have become that which your controlling parent needed you to become. And there might have been other controllers in your life who had great influence over you. The controller needs certain things, and if there's a controlly child around, that controller will mold, reward, and punish the controlly based on what the controlly provides that the controller either needs or doesn't need. So through a system of rewards and punishments, or control for short, the controlly's false self is defined for him. It's kind of sad because the controller's worst fear is to be seen as something he is not. And yet from the very beginning of his life, he is defined as something he is not. A controlly almost invariably assumes that he is at fault, he is to blame. If something goes wrong, if something is wrong, if a transaction doesn't go well, the controlly will be the one to apologize, even when it's not he who needs to apologize. The controlly is very much interested in personal growth, in improving himself, in becoming a better person. Because a controlly assumes that he's the one who messed up. A controlly is usually the one buying the self-help books. A controlly is the one usually listening to this podcast. That's why I talk to you as if you're a controlly. A controller already knows. Their pride says that they already know all the answers. They already know who's a bad person and who's a good person. They already know how they got to be this way. They already know who's at fault, and they blame them. They have no trouble blaming them. They don't need self-help. They've already figured life out. A controller is very good at the physical world. If you don't know which one you are, that's a good measuring stick. If you never really have a lot of money, you're probably a controlly. If you have trouble with mechanical things, you're probably a controlly. If you never really make something of yourself that's considered entrepreneurial and challenging, and you're in command of many, many people, if you don't do that, you're probably a controlly. Or if you do it and it exacts an enormous price from your emotional health, you're probably a controlly. If you have attached yourself to a, quote, strong person who gives you direction, you are probably a controlly. Now, the problem with being a controlly is this. When you surrender to the wrong authority, that authority is not operating out of love. That authority is not operating out of truth. That authority, the controller, needs love just like the rest of us, but he's going to get it by manipulation, control, and lies. And I don't care what type of controller you are. There are three main types. That's in the last podcast. Well, controllees are born to give love. We are designed to give love. We actually get our rocks off on giving love. So when our controller extracts this love from us, we give it willingly. We give it because it makes us feel good. It's what we actually want to do. But when that love is extracted through manipulative means, or through lies, or through a system of rewards and punishments, giving that love no longer feels so good. There's a hangover to it. Oh, it feels good in the moment. But then we have the hangover the next day, or the minute we walk away from the conversation, or the next time our controller disconnects from us or devalues us. We scratch our heads our whole lives because we're like, well, I'm giving love, but I'm not getting it back. We know in our heart that love is a circular transaction. Real love gives and receives in equal measure. If both people are participating in real love, that is how it's supposed to work. So we give this love to our controller, but sometimes we get stuff back, but it always comes with the price. It always comes with the hangover. It comes with obligation, or it comes with feeling wrong, or it comes with feeling devalued, or one of those things follows very shortly after an episode of, quote, love being exchanged. After a while, we feel like we're sitting at the slot machine, putting our entire life savings into it, and it never pays out. The reason we feel that way is because it doesn't. I have not known a single controller in my life who has opened even a single facet of the six facets of love. Not one. It is my opinion, based on my experience so far, that they are not capable of showing real love. You have to open a facet. You have to be willing to feel emotions. You have to be willing to grieve. You have to be willing to have self-awareness to know what's going on in your subconscious and bring it up into the conscious mind. You have to be willing to ask the divine for help, to acknowledge that there's a power higher than you. You have to be willing to trust that power. Or you have to be willing to be vulnerable, to feel emotions around another person, or to show compassion, to allow your emotions to match another person's. One of those things has to be happening in order for real love to be experienced. Does your controller do any of those things? Does your controller really trust God? Or is he operating out of fear and trusting himself? Does your controller really allow his emotions to flow with you? Or does he just tell you what he's feeling? Does he actually cry with you? Does he actually jump up and down in joy with you? Does he actually shake in fear with you? Does your controller feel your emotions with you? Or does he just say the words? Does your controller rely on any divine guidance? Truly rely on it? Does he ask for guidance and the next day gets an answer, an insight? Or does he just play at asking God for help? Is your controller really self-aware? Does he really know what he's doing to you when he hurts you, when he neglects to show love to you, when he doesn't stand up for you, when he's not loyal to you, when he doesn't appreciate you or respect you? Does he truly apologize for the correct thing? Not for a general overall, I'm sorry, I'm just the most terrible human being in the world. But truly apologize for what he did to you and what how it made you feel? Does he truly ever repent, promising to do better, to go a different direction, to not do it to you again? Does your controller give you the freedom to create, or does he always have a say in what or how you create? Does your controller take pleasure in what you have created? Does your controller fully feel his anger? Fully feel his sadness? Fully feel his joy? Fully feel his fear? I doubt it. I would guess it's a no to almost all those questions. And if it is a yes, I will say your controller is very good at fooling you. I hate to say that. But what a great match, right? One person who is proud, who already knows everything, who doesn't need to change himself at all, is matched up with you, the controlee, who is more than willing to look at yourself to see where you went wrong, where you can improve. What a fabulous match that is. How long does a relationship last before you get sick of that one-sidedness? Before you get sick of being the one to blame, the one to have to change, the one to have to yield? How long before your controller's promises that are never followed through gets to you? How long before his judgment of you gets too much? How long before his control of you, what you eat, where you go to bed, who you talk to, how long you stay on the phone, gets to you? How long before your controller's disconnection gets to you? His silent treatments or his smearing, allowing other people to smear you, or his boundary violating gets to you? This is when a controller begins to question his relationship. Controllee begins to question his relationship. It takes time for it to sink in that this is not what I signed up for. The controller is so good at giving us what H.T. Tudor calls the golden period, that courtship where he idealizes us and gives us everything we've ever needed from our parents. But that period always ends, sometimes sooner rather than later, depending on the type of controller you have and how much you've committed to him. The controller does not and cannot show real love, and eventually the controllee discovers this. If your controller is OCPD, obsessive compulsive personality disorder, it will take you a long time. At least 10 years, and often it takes 25 to 35 years before a controllee realizes that his OCPD controller really doesn't love him. Other personality disorders take less time. The narcissist takes less time. His means of control are more intense and short, therefore more short of duration. Borderline is the same. The suffering is more intense, and therefore it is discovered sooner. The OCPDer is a long, slow drip. And I'll talk about these types in more detail later. So if you're a controllee, you are experiencing your own suffering. Some of it is from your childhood. Some of it is current events that repeat situations from your childhood that bring up the suffering all over again. But guess what? You get to have your controller suffering as well. They give their suffering to you, and I'll describe how this happens in the next podcast. So you get a double dose. The controller gets to hand off his suffering to you. Therefore, if you ask most controllers how life is going, they'll say, it's pretty good. I'm pretty much getting what I want out of it. Feel pretty good. Yeah. My needs are getting met. Yeah. Life is good. I can handle it. And if you ask a controlee, he will say, I'm on Prozac. I'm on antidepressants. I'm on anxiety medication. I'm depressed. I can't get out of bed. I smoke pot every day just to deal with life. If you've got anxiety issues or depression issues, the first place I would look is your controller. The controlee is getting a double dose. Now, the good news is there are several ways that God tries to get our attention to try to turn back to him. The first way is when we hear truth, like listening to this podcast, or there are many other purveyors of truth out there, and you hear something that rings true. The second, more powerful way that God uses to turn us back to him is for us to see an example of a person who is living according to spiritual laws. Much more powerful than just hearing truth. But if those two don't work, guess what? God has to resort to that which he wishes did not have to happen. Suffering. So take heart. If you are suffering double duty, both yours and your controller's, you've got a much better shot at waking up, at turning around and saying, what the heck am I doing? And why? Why am I surrendering to a person rather than my divine father? For more information like this, go to my website, zaccesslife.com. Check out my book, How to Get Over Your Narc in 95 Days, on Amazon. You can also watch these podcasts on YouTube. My channel is called Z-Axis Life.